For the people who are online with Zoom, who've used the Team Talk before, how does it compare for you with the past?
I would say Zoom wins hands down. With Team Talk, I got all kinds of echo and feedback and looping and very strange stuff, and I'm not getting any of that with Zoom.
This is Judy from Connecticut. I'm just using the phone, and it's awesome. It was really easy to get into once I realized what I was doing, and everything is clear.
Yeah, it really is cool that be able to do that.
Yeah, and this is Maria. I mean, I mentioned for another group, I had tried using Team Talk kind of back in the day, and both on iOS and on this laptop, I don't know what on earth was happening, but no one could hear me. And seeing as it was both platforms, I was pretty sure it wasn't me. Even when I was just listening back sometimes to the presentations, like others, either there was like an audio delay or, you know, sometimes it would just cut out. It just was not an enjoyable experience. And so I was very happy when I saw on the list that you were now using Zoom. I've had great experiences with it in several groups now. And I mean, the audio quality is just great. There isn't latency or delay. You know, just the controls and such are really easy on the computer, a lot of shortcuts, but also like on iOS, it's quite, you know, accessible and flexible. So I'm liking it a lot.
This is Jeff Thompson. Zoom is better, I
think. So a question for people online as far as like being able to get in and control Zoom. Anything that you found was difficult or...
This is Maria. I thought it was pretty easy. I mean, I'm used to using Zoom both as a host and as a participant for a few months now in like bits and a couple other things. And so I mean, it was just like any other. It was nice. We had the room link and I just clicked on the link and it launched Zoom and it's been working like I've been used to.
One thing that I found just because I didn't use the link, I was using the history that I had. Apparently, I had an old Vibug meeting ID that is no longer valid in the history, and I kept joining that meeting, and of course, it didn't like it. It took me a while to figure out what I was doing, so I'm going to have to get rid of that item in my history and perhaps even clear my history so that it won't be there anymore. You know, once I figured out that I was being a fumble klutz, you know, I got in just fine, so.
I belong to another group that uses Zoom all the time, and in that group, when I tried to go in online, Jaws kept telling me a whole bunch of stuff I didn't need to know, like so-and-so has just entered the meeting or just left the meeting, and you know, it kind of interfered with the presenter. I was wondering if there was any way to shut that off. And the other thing is, does it make any sense at all for a person using JAWS to try to participate in the online chat? Because this other group is really big on, you know, people talking and other people sending supportive messages through the online chat. The one time I did this online with JAWS telling me everything that was going on the chat and people entering and leaving the room and everything, I eventually gave up and just called in on the phone. What does it make sense to try and do during the meeting and what doesn't it?
Certainly, if they're going to be using chat, I think you're going to find that an ongoing, very frustrating issue.
Well, one thing you might try, I would assume this would work, you can hit insert spacebar S to turn JAWS speech off. That works in many programs where, you know, you have competing audio going on. And so insert spacebar S should get rid of the JAWS chatter. And then you're just hearing the, you know, the actual conversation. It's like a three-finger double tap on the iPhone. You're not closing the program. You're just muting the speech temporarily. It's a toggle, so when you think you want to get it back, you do the insert spacebar S again.
This meeting is pretty good. We had a high point. We had 11 people online, and I don't think we've ever had that much with Team Talk. I know the more people you put on Team Talk, the more things kind of broke up a little bit.
People should realize who are here in the room who haven't done Zoom before. There's a huge advantage in that, you know, whoever's coordinating the meeting has to, of course, know how Zoom works. But if you're just someone who wants to be a participant, all you need to really know how to do is to open a link in your email. The people on the other side really don't have to know hardly anything at all, and that's a big advantage.
It's a good idea to know how to mute your audio as a participant, because even though the host will mute everybody when Vibug has to conduct business or do a demonstration, once the host unmutes, they unmute everybody all at once. So you do want to know how to mute your audio, because it's your responsibility as a participant to try to keep your mic muted whenever you have nothing to say, because it really does help. Because if you don't, sometimes you do something on the computer, we'll hear Jaws in the background, or we'll hear your guide dog barking to go out or something like that.
What do you think could be done differently, if anything, to help move the meetings along a little bit better as far as integrating the people online?
I think for the first time using Zoom, you did an excellent job, a better
sense that they're part of the group. I mean, because you don't have to keep on holding the buttons down and asking them that they, you know, it seemed like they're actually right here participating.
I have one comment as somebody who is listening online. I think it would be helpful for long readings of things like minutes, to have whoever reads the minutes do that from the front of the room, only because you can get a lot closer to the mic. Yeah. And what happens if you don't is you get a lot of room acoustics and everything sort of turns into a muddle. I was able to follow when Jeanette was reading the minutes, but it would have been a lot easier if she had been as close to the mic as, say, Igor was when he was presenting.
I would also suggest that part of what's happening with the pickup of people in the room asking questions is because they're, you know, being picked up way far away from a microphone, they're ending up trying to be canceled by Zoom's noise canceling, and it adds a hell of a lot of digital artifact and everything, so it's a little harder to understand. If you can look into turning off the noise canceling features for the host of the meeting, that might be a wise thing to do, because it will facilitate better pickup in the room.
Is there a limit on how many participants there can be online?
No.
Does having more people do anything to the quality of the audio, or that shouldn't matter?
It shouldn't matter. No.
Yeah. Vibug, of course, is dominated by people who can commute to Vibug meetings here, and this opens up the opportunity to maybe expand the membership. I'm wondering whether we might think about sort of like a trial type of thing, that you could be a non-member, participate online in this way once, and then if you want to continue, then you pay your membership the second time around. It just seems like there's potential here for doing more stuff distance-wise than there was before. People only have to be invited by an email link to this, and they might want to think a little bit more about how this could even be used to expand membership, just because it's so much easier to participate long distance with Zoom than it was earlier.
Well, actually, David, what we had talked about, we had talked about something along those lines. We had talked about doing what Bit sometimes does, and like maybe in September, having a totally open meeting and announcing that it would be open so that people could try it. And then if they, you know, if they liked it, then they could join and become members. So
yeah, we actually did talk about that as officers.
One other problem with Zoom that did not occur today, because to me it's a potential serious problem. One of the beauties of using Zoom or Team Talk is that people can actually demonstrate from afar. They don't have to be in the room. But the big drawback with Zoom is for a person to demonstrate from afar like Kelsey did, everybody has to be unmuted. We have to be very careful to be responsible for our own audio muting, even though the host can do a massive mute.
Can't the host mute everybody and then just have the demo person unmute?
No.
Yes. So for Bits, this is exactly what we do. And I've done this. Like, Kelsey and I gave a presentation on Tuesday. And that's literally what you do. You do a mass mute, and then you go into the list of participants, and you select the participant you want to unmute, and you tab over, and there's an unmute button.
I see. Okay, because I was told you couldn't do that. Maybe you cannot mute individuals, but you can unmute.
You can mute individuals, you do the same thing. You can go in the participant, if you're host or co, you can also make people co-host.
Right.
Someone else to have, be able to share the control. So the host or the co-host, yeah, you can do the same, you would mute them the same way. So like,
oh, good.
Yeah, so like you go into the list of part. So like what I did, so like when I was running the control, so when I was presenting, I mass muted everyone, and there's also a checkbox under the more options in the participant panel where you can select to mute participants on entry. So if people come in later, they stay on mute if everyone's muted. And then you just go into the participants list. And like when Kelsey was speaking, I just went into the list and unmuted her. And then she was done. I went back into the list. I muted her again. And I carried on.
Yeah, this has become, you know, this has sort of become like the challenge of a telephone call. Same as we try to do here in the room, we should, it, maybe even more so online. The meeting coordinator really should call on people to speak rather than having like a whole, because even online they're having their sort of their own conversations amongst themselves. It was sort of hard to, one, hard to follow, but then also sort of hard to control. So that would sort of help.
Yeah, I think it's the same as in the room as is online, is that after you say something, just pause to see if, you know, if someone else is talking off the moderator wants to jump in, that type of thing. Just
also good to say your name.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether you're online or here.
When you're on Zoom, right, if you're the one who's sort of like participating online, how do you indicate whether, you know, like if you want to make a comment or anything?
If you're participating on the just on the regular old telephone, if you do a *9, that will raise your hand so the moderator will know that you want to raise your hand, you have a question, you want to make a comment. If you're on a PC, if you do an Alt-Y, it does the same thing. And so the moderator will see that your hand is raised and say, oh, this Marta has a question.
Do you have to have an iOS phone to participate via
Zoom? No. You can participate with it, which is what Alan and Masha are doing. You can just dial in a phone number and punch in a PIN number, mm-hmm. and then you are automatically on the call as a participant. There is an iPhone app, so once you get an iPhone, you can use the iPhone app to get on. But no, you can get on just with a regular standard phone.
So *9 indicates, or Alt-Y if you're...
Correct.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, two people just raised a hand, so go ahead, first person.
All right, this is Maria. So with the raising hand, I just wanted to add that you can do it with the iOS app as well. I think you might have to open the participants panel, and then the raise hand option will be there. I'm on the computer today, so I couldn't test it out right now, but I believe that's where you can go. But essentially, the functionality is similar across, you know, I know there's an Android app as well. I can't speak to success. So it's very cross-platform.
The iOS app, you have to double tap on the more tab, and then there is a raise your hand thing that you double tap on.
No problem.
It's a little less quicker than on the computer, but it's not hard.
And then after you're done speaking, you want to I've been lowering my hand, doing the same Alt-Y, or you, then that option turns into on iOS, the lower hand to acknowledge. I know the host can do it too, but I've just been lowering my hand when I'm done talking to alert that I'm done.
Yeah, I looked at it on the iOS app. There's a tab that says more kind of on the bottom right-hand corner. And then the first thing come to is raise your hand, and you could also unraise it after you did that. Yeah.
I have one question on the, this is for Maria, this is Steve. On the PC, Alt-Y also a toggle for your hand?
Yes, and you'll get the same alert. So like when I pressed it after just now, because I raised my hand and then I spoke, and so then I pressed it and it says something like, the host has acknowledged your raised hand.
Okay, because I assumed that somehow my hand would be slapped down, so I didn't try to put it down.
The host can go in and do that, but if the host doesn't do that, or if for some reason you change your mind, you don't want to raise your hand, you can just lower it yourself.
Oh, okay.
Let's say you raise your hand, and then the host says, okay, Maria, ask your question. After you finish and you resolve your issue, unless the host does something...
Don, what happened?
No, the host is playing with me.
Oh, did you mute him?
So unless the host does something, if you ask your question, Maria, and then you're finished, Your hand is still raised unless you go and lower it?
That's unless the host lowers your hand, which they can do. But if they don't, then yeah, it still stays raised until you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very good to know, because if people don't know that, their hands will be, you know, if they raise their hand, they'll stay raised as if they had an additional question.
Yeah, your arms get tired.
So let's say you press Alt-Y to raise your hand. Does that automatically, do you have to press another key combination to speak?
No.
Or?
No.
I see.
Well, only if you're muted. So if you're muted, you'd have to unmute yourself. If you're on a PC, it's Alt-A. If you're on a Mac, it's Command-Shift-A, and I think it's *6 on the phone.
On the phone, yeah.
And you can tab, if you forget the shortcut, you can tab around to all these things, but the shortcut just makes it that much quicker.
And by the way, this also automatically records if you set that up to do that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Just wait for a minute. Let Judy talk, because Judy has a hand up.
Thank you. Yeah, I just raised my hand. I'm on just a regular house phone, and you guys that are on the phone all sound super clear to me, so I just thought I'd just put that in the comments. So phone to phone, it sounds really clear.
You sound great too, Judy. In fact, your phone sounds far better than Al's. I guess this is a Linux phone.
I think for the next meeting announcement, I think it would be helpful, because next time I'll have to call in on the phone also. I think it would be very helpful if we could include the phone number in email with the, and put it so that the, you know, have the commas in between the main phone number and the access code, so that those of us who are using an iPhone don't have to try to mess with the touchscreen. Because I know for me, trying to put in a pin on an iPhone using touch typing, sometimes I'm ready to throw it because it makes me so angry.
Dawn, do you remember how much, what on the iPhone, what is a comma? Is it two, is it half a second? What's the...
I think I have a second.
Yeah.
I think it's actually more than that, but I'll see. I think I might have a couple that where people have done that I saved in my email. I'll count the commas and let you know. Because, you know, the other thing you can do is you can add that to your contacts. So because it's the same link all the time and the same meeting number all the time, then all you'd have to say to your phone is call Zoom or something. Yeah. And it'll dial the meeting number, put in the pauses, type in the PIN and the pound signs and all of that, and you're good to go.
The other thing you should be able to do, because I know I can do it on my dumb phone, I can set up the contact so that it calls the number and then I have to push a key and then it types the rest of it out. So that, you know, in case it takes more than, you know, one ring to answer the phone, you don't end up having it start to type before it's ready.
Right. You could do that. That's a semicolon, I think, instead of a comma. I prefer to do it the other way and just err on the side of caution. But you could do it either way.
Just quickly with the Zoom, the phone number, I think if you send an invite, like invite someone to the meeting from Zoom, you can even just email it to yourself. I think Zoom will automatically provide that one tap dial number, at least from what I've seen before. And then it provides the link to the numbers as well. So you can just copy from that email and just paste. You don't have to worry about manually how many commas are you going to put in and such.
Yeah, that's correct. You're right about that, Maria.
Just so since we're on that topic, one of the things you could do if you're an iPhone user when you have to like dial a PIN number for something, if you have that PIN number in an email, you could switch back to your email while still on a call and double tap on that PIN. It'll actually dial it for you.